Community partnerships are probably going to be a game changer for you. If you have a need for more clients, if you have a need for more office space or other sites or equipment, if you have a need for better reporting or a better information dissemination, if you have a need for hiring, technical support, human resources services, networking with potential funders, market visibility or credibility, yeah, community partnerships are going to be your friend. So if you don't fall in those categories, fine. We don't have to listen. Just, you know, move on with your day. If you haven't needed any of these things, I would suggest that you stay. Welcome to the Funding Your Healthcare Vision podcast, the only podcast focused on helping visionary leaders of health centers and practices secure grants, contracts, and other funding to strengthen, scale, and sustain their vision of supporting under-resourced communities of color. I'm your host, Dr. Omolara, 20-year pediatrician, CEO of my own multi-practice health network, and fundraising expert, raising over $3 million to date and counting. I definitely know firsthand the challenges that come with financially sustaining quality healthcare for marginalized communities. Check out each episode where we'll bring you insights and advice from myself and other community health leaders to successfully secure funding for their organizations. From navigating grant applications, building relationships with funders, we'll help you elevate your funding strategy and bring more money to support your mission. So if you're ready to take your health organization to the next level, welcome to your funding secret weapon. Let's go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Funding Your Healthcare Vision podcast. It is me again, Dr. O, and I am super excited to be here this week. One of my favorite topics that we'll be talking about, collaborating with community partners and all of these great benefits that come from that, expanding the funding opportunities, the impact for your healthcare practice or center, for its growth. I am super excited to dive into this. First and foremost, before we get to that, I want to do a personal infomercial for the importance of vacation. So by the time you hear this, I'll be back from our spring break, but we went to Ocean City, Maryland, and we got this great condo and it was literally oceanfront. So you looked out the window, it was just ocean. And it was so beautiful and it was so like clarifying. And so some of the things that I didn't do when I was working in my old workplace or even in the community health practices that I've worked at was understanding the value of vacation and how like it really does refresh you. And I just became so clear with ideas. So I just want to shout out to all of you who are working, who are building the practice and doing the thing, that it could be so much better if you just took a 3 days, 4 days, whatever it was for vacation. So I'm just saying that, okay, that's going to go to somebody. Somebody needs to hear that. But in any case, we're going to talk about collaboration. A few other things that I want to mention before we get into the episode. I wanted to shout out an amazing, I would say, client of mine and now friend, Dr. Hokehe Eko. She is actually the founder of Glow Pediatrics. She's been a seasoned pediatrician for decades, and she's one of our clients. And she founded, in addition to having a practice that focuses on children with brain health issues, ADHD, developmental issues, she founded Kits of Hope. And Kits of Hope just landed a $20,000 consulting grant to teach teachers how to boost brain health at 21 schools in Oklahoma. And I'm happy to say that we were able to help her locate the grant and help make sure that she had positioned herself right for it. And so this is great news for us at M&M. This is what we like to see. We like to see people being able to provide the impact but get funded to do so. And really that just allows for the sustainability to happen. And we're really excited for her because the visibility of her practice, the visibility of her organization is really going to grow. If you wanted to follow her, and just so you know what Kits of Hope does, it actually provides curated kits containing a developmentally appropriate toy, book, stuffed animal, love note, and important development information to empower foster parents to provide healthy and loving homes for their children, which is right up her alley as an expert in trauma-informed care. So you can go to kidsofhope.org, and you can learn more. You can donate. You can do whatever you want. But I needed to shout this woman out because she is doing the thing. And you can also find her on LinkedIn, of course. All right. I am also excited to announce that, as you know, as those of you who listen to this podcast regularly, and if you have not shared with a friend, I'm looking at you. Okay, I'm judging you. But as you know, my mission is to ensure that we get grant funding for healthcare practices and health centers that support Medicaid and underserved populations and uninsured populations. And, you know, I expressed the last time that I was on the podcast that there is this Medicaid unwinding. Lots of people are at risk of disenrollment and not having access to Medicaid or any health insurance. And we talked about the fact that grant funding is a really great way to be able to fill in the gap, because a lot of the practices that serve them won't get that revenue from Medicaid because those people are uninsured, but they still have to take care of them. And so a lot of times what we can do is fill in the gap with grant funding as we do the advocacy to really change this system and get more people back on Medicaid and expand Medicaid eligibility. But I got invited to speak on a panel hosted by Health Tech for Medicaid. And it really is to just talk about our work and talk about what we're doing in our practice, Strong Children Wellness, at all of our practices, I should say, in terms of how to prevent people from losing healthcare access and help navigate this Medicaid debacle. And we will get you the link to that. It's in the show notes. It'll be on our LinkedIn, on our Instagram. So if you're not following us there, I'm judging you again. Okay. Those are the places. You can figure out if you're an Instagram person or a LinkedIn person. We got you in both places. Okay. So most importantly, thank you all for writing with me. It's been amazing. I love you all. And make sure to continue sending me messages about the wins that you've had just from listening to the podcast, questions that you have, accessing our resources and the benefits that that has brought you. You can actually go to melaninandmedicine.co/messages. And you can just record a voice note. It's not hard. You don't need to type nothing. You don't need to do anything. You just record it there. My greatest hope is that actually for some of you, we actually get to work together in real life. So that would be super amazing. So in any case, let us get to the episode. All right. So I wanted to bring up collaborations this week. And why, you may ask, am I so focused on this? Well, as many of you know, I think collaborations have been key to the success and expansion and growth of our practices as a founder myself. But also, I've been a fan of collabs even before being an entrepreneur for over a decade. And that was because I was a global health doc and actually a director of a global health program. And it was literally built from partnerships, building partnerships in Kenya, India, Dominican Republic, North Dakota, Texas, for, you know, kids who are indigenous or recently migrated kids. It just was like the lifeblood. And I just recognized how much more high quality, how much more impactful the care was that we were delivering when we were able to partner. And what I will say to you all is that if you're working in a silo on your practice, either because you're afraid you're too small or you think you're so big that you don't have anything to benefit, don't have anything to get through a partnership, both of you are wrong. Okay? Both of you are wrong. Without partnerships, a lot of times what we find is that health practices and health centers may create redundancy in the ecosystem, just in terms of not knowing that there are people who have been doing some of this really powerfully and effectively. And you actually are at a disservice because of the fact that you're not going to be able to probably make the same impact as quick, as strong as they have, and also not being able to learn about what are the ways to do this. So I find this with a lot of practices who are really evolving into integrated care and not, you know, not tapping into the expertise and the wealth of knowledge that community partners who may offer those services are have been privy to and have really experienced. The other thing is reach. Your reach actually is stunted a lot of times, because I will say that a lot of the communities that I particularly, as melanin and medicine, as you know, that's the name, it's really our goal is to make sure that we provide equitable care for underserved communities of color. And a lot, there is a lot of mistrust around healthcare, traditional healthcare settings. And a lot of community organizations access those populations. They have the buy-in, the credibility with the populations who oftentimes are hesitant. And if we're not partnering with them, we're missing on a whole swath of populations that really do need access to healthcare and high quality healthcare that you're bringing. And then we also, in our silos, have a limited view of what the community needs. We think we, you know, we're working with the community, but we don't know from, we only know it from our perspective. And working with a community partner allows for us to be able to expand that perspective and provide services that really are even more responsive to the community. All right. So that is why I am a big proponent. And that's not the only reason. It's not what you are preventing, but it's also what you're getting. You're getting a whole bunch of credibility. You're getting a whole bunch of, you know, you're moving into kind of a different competitive advantage in the marketplace because you're innovative, because you're working with a partner. Two is better than one. And also the collective impact, being able to have both people working with the same population on the same issue is particularly powerful, particularly impactful, and allows for much higher outcomes. So I wanted to share that. Okay, I'm on my pulpit right now trying to make sure that you understand why we're doing this. And then we're going to talk about approaches, but I just want to make sure, because I think a lot of people are like, do this, and they don't make the case. And I am a former associate professor, so, you know, publications and things like that. So I'm always making my case first about why this is needed. What is the gap, the introduction of my paper today in this podcast? The other thing that I want you to think about is if you have a need and what the needs are that you have with either the growth of your practice, the operations, or, you know, scaling a new service line, if you have any of these needs, this is how this community partnerships are probably going to be a game changer for you. If you have a need for more clients, if you have a need for more office space or other sites or equipment, if you have a need for better reporting or a better information dissemination, if you have a need for hiring, technical support, human resources services, networking with potential funders, market visibility or credibility, yeah, community partnerships are going to be your friend. So if you don't fall in those categories, fine, fine. We don't have to listen. Just, you know, move on with your day. If you haven't needed any of these things, I would suggest that you stay on, okay? All right. So I didn't mention the biggest positive, which is funding opportunities that open up when you're working with community organizations, particularly those that are nonprofits. It is an amazing, amazing connection. However, I will put the disclaimer that collaborations that are only created for funding opportunities don't usually last. So I want to be very clear that our goal is not to partner with someone so we can get money. Our goal is to partner with someone so we can provide more impact and do all of the things that I mentioned and have the added benefit of being able to have an open opportunity for even more money to be able to sustain the work that we're doing. Okay, so do not go into a partnership just because, oh, it's going to give me funding. Don't do that. After the break, what I will do is I will run through my foolproof approach at finding your ideal partner for success, funding, and impact. So I'll see you on the other side. Give me a second.
This episode is sponsored by Melanin and Medicine and our signature program, Vision Builders, designed to help leaders of mission-driven health centers and practices caring for low-income populations. We help you access the tools, tips, and techniques to not only consistently secure six-figure grants to scale your organization, but also support the expansion of your revenue model to get recurring government and private contracts that don't keep you relying on fee-for-service Medicaid payments that barely cover your expenses. In Vision Builders, you get done-for-you services, including an updated personalized portfolio with recommended contract partners, grant funders, and available funding opportunities every quarter, creation of the assets needed to approach potential funders and contract partners with ease and efficiency, a robust curricula to help you assemble your requests, budget, and up-level your online presence to attract funders, and a one-of-a-kind peer community and high-touch weekly support from experts giving you the exact steps to connect with partner organizations and strategies to ensure that you're successful as you implement. So are you tired of having to balance your desire to take care of communities in need, having to run your practice sadly like a factory that's based on quantity and not quality, and struggling to not burn out your clinicians? You need more revenue, you need more cash flow, and we can help you get that. So if you're ready to make a change, start by completing our funding readiness intensive at bit.ly/mmfundingintake. That's bit.ly/mmfundingintake, and we can help. We're so excited to learn more about your practice and how we can move it from surviving to thriving. So go ahead and complete an intake at bit.ly/mmfundingintake.
All right. So how do we find these amazing collaborations in the rough, diamonds in the rough, when it comes to expanding our impact and funding? So the first thing is actually some self-reflection. As a leader, as you know, a founder, whatever hat you have on right now for your healthcare organization, I want you to first think about the problem that you solve, right? Or the problem that you want to solve. Maybe, of course, you're already solving a healthcare access issue, but maybe there's a certain group, a certain population that you've been having difficulty with in terms of really making the impact or the changes that you want to make for that population. I will say the bigger and more complex it is means it usually needs funding, right? And in order to truly solve that issue. And so my first thing is, once you have that issue or problem that you're saying, oh, I wish we could do this, then I want you to think about what are the contributors to that problem, okay? My best method for this has always been the five whys for us nerdy people. That is called root cause analysis or fishbone diagrams. Just dropping that. So what you can do is literally go through the five whys. So every time you're saying to yourself, okay, so this problem exists. Why does this problem exist? Okay, once you get that answer, why is that? Okay, that's second why. What? But why? Third why? And so forth. Finally, when you do this, you have a root cause. You'll probably see that maybe your health organization can address this root cause, but a lot of times it can maybe just address some of it, but not all of it. You might even find out you can't address any of it. And then the next question I want you to ask is, who does address that? Who in the community is providing any services that can support that? And that is your mission aligned partner. So an example of this I will bring up, let's do asthma, right? So if you're noticing in your pediatric practices that you're just not making headway with your asthmatic patients. They're still having not great outcomes. They're still coming into the ER multiple times. They are just, you know, not really seeing the benefit from just the care alone. The first thing that we would do is we would actually start with asking ourselves, why are these kids getting asthma in the community? That may be things that you hear from the visits, from your practitioners. Well, you know, a big reason is that, you know, the housing for many of the ones that we're seeing, you know, they are having a lot of issues where their parents aren't able to access, like they have like a housing remediation or anything like that. Well, why aren't they able to access it? They don't have time. They're working. They just aren't able to do that. Well, why aren't they able to have time and work? It's because the jobs, you know, that they have are really just exploitative and they don't give any benefits. They can't take off time. And why is that? Well, there isn't advocacy being done, or they don't have access to what other jobs that might be available to them. And then you start to say, oh, there might be a jobs issue here. There might be something where we actually need to see how we can support our families with giving them a wider array of opportunities or getting them into recruiting organizations that can help them to get better supports. Now, you heard throughout that also housing remediation. There are some other things that are downstream that possibly you can support, but also another community partner might be able to support. And so you see, like, if there was a part organization that was helping with job navigation or helping with housing remediation, those would be two partners that could actually align really well with you positioning a funding opportunity to support asthmatic children and improve their access and quality of healthcare and impact of health outcomes. So I hope you guys get that, right? And you can just see how people, one, go from it's a healthcare problem to actually it's not a healthcare problem. And you do need community partners, but not all partners are created equal. So you might think this is the right partner, but I want you to vet after that, vet and then vet. So I want to help you avoid the dreaded partnership from hell. Okay. I don't want, there are partnerships, not all partnerships, you know, run into the wind, into the sunset. There are others that don't quite make it. And so I do want us to not get into that. And so after the break, I'm going to share a little bit about how you can avoid this and what are the things to look for. Okay. So I'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be nice to get new six-figure grant opportunities straight to your inbox every month? Well, subscribe to Build, Fund, Grow, our monthly newsletter, and get a list of new funding opportunities and growth tips curated by our Melanin and Medicine research team, specifically for healthcare organizations serving low-income communities. It is literally the easiest thing you can do to get the capital to grow the revenue and the impact of your mission-driven healthcare organization. Just go to bit.ly/buildfundgrownewsletter. Trust us, your team will thank you for making this so easy. Get on the list at bit.ly/buildfundgrownewsletter. And get the money you deserve ASAP. That's bit.ly/buildfundgrownewsletter. See you on the list.
All right. So let's get into it. So what are you looking for now that you know that collaborations are amazing, are the best things since sliced bread to help you reach your goals for the populations that you serve and your goals for strengthening your organization? I don't want you to miss the red flags, okay? So now that you know an organization doesn't mean you should immediately partner with them. But what we train our clients to do is we give them support on how to conduct discovery calls. So helping them, of course, connect with leaders in that organization, making sure that they can pitch what their thoughts are. And also, before they do pitch anything, you have to just learn if this is the right partner to even pitch something to or to ask for a collaboration with. And so that's through the discovery call process. But these are the things that I want you to be looking out for, even as you communicate and try to schedule the meetings and as you're talking with them. These are the things that can be red flags before you sign a memorandum or start the partnership or collaborate for a grant. Okay, number one is right services and the right mix of services and mission. So definitely if they're doing exactly the same thing you're doing, that probably may not be the best. You want to look for things that are complementary and that the mission is focused on the same kind of target population that you're focused on. Okay. So that is first and foremost. And I think usually, you know, in the vetting process, you can identify that. The other things really happen once you actually go to the conversation part of this, where you can assess this. The first thing is responsiveness. So is the organization responding to you in a timely fashion? Are they like, is it one word responses versus like really thoughtful responses? That can, if you're seeing kind of responses that are meh or, you know, not that fancy or thoughtful, that may be a red flag that maybe the organization might not see this work as a priority. And that can be a problem just because of the fact that, you know, moving work forward, especially work that is so complex and huge, like the work that we really needs champions on both angles. So you want to identify, is there a champion on their angle that they can provide to really be able to support this partnership? The rigor. So rigor is extremely important. You don't want to partner with someone who's on the struggle bus, not at this stage, okay? And what that means is you want to make sure that you're working with people who are not new to this, but true to this. You want to make sure you're working with people who have maybe gotten funding already, gotten significant amounts of it, know how to collaborate with funders, know how to talk to them. You know, you're going to be relying on them a lot because they're in the nonprofit space and they're able to, you know, really access these funds. And so you do want to be able to, you just make sure that they're rigorous, that they're thorough, that as they're talking with you, you're hearing them ask additional questions to make sure they're getting more detail. The other thing that I think is extremely important is respect, and that you can tell that they really see and value what you're bringing to the table. That is extremely important. I want you to also assess if they're responsible. They said that they were going to do this. Did it actually happen? They said they were going to do that. It hasn't been done yet. Those are red flags for us to say, because likely that's not going to change once there is an actual project that you have to collaborate with. So that's a really important thing. And then the relationship. Do you feel like you actually can connect with the people you're working with? If you feel it's very strange, very like you can't really share what you really think, that's going to be a recipe for disaster. You want to be able to not feel constrained, but you want to be able to feel like, oh, okay, I can really talk to this person and tell them what's going on, because there will be challenges, but there's so much more success too that comes from it that it's okay. Overcomes the challenges. So I wanted to make sure that we talked about this. In summary, I'm hoping you learned why the collaborations are amazing. I'm hoping you learned how to approach who should I collaborate. And I'm hoping you also learned what are the effective ways to assess as you're going through the process, whether this is a good fit or not so much. Okay. So I hope that this really helps you as you move forward with growing your practice, growing your health center. I'm hoping that it's going to be really exciting for you as you start to explore who could I work with to really move the needle, to get new funding streams into our practice, and have fun with it. So otherwise, I am excited to see you next week. We'll have another episode. Make sure that you go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Make sure to review this and follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram, okay? And of course, if you need any support, if you're like, oh my God, this is good, but I don't even know where to start, complete an intake, okay? That's the easiest thing you can do. Just complete an intake. That'll be in the show notes. Make sure you complete that, or you can go to bit.ly/mmfundingintake. I'm super excited to learn more about your organization, and have a good week. Stay fearless and get funded. Bye.
Hey, visionaries. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, can you do me a favor, or maybe two? Can you subscribe, and then can you share it with a friend? And if you really liked it, can you review and rate it on Apple Podcasts? So as you know, it helps our podcast to be seen by more and more Black and Brown women in healthcare across the globe. I also want to make sure that we don't leave you hanging if you're trying to get funding for your practice, or if you're just stuck. Head to our resources page at bit.ly/melaninandmedicine. That's bit.ly/melaninandmedicine. And there we have masterclasses, learning series, as well as the ability to just cut to the chase and submit an intake and get the personalized feedback on your practice that you want. This podcast is a sisterhood, so don't forget to join the party and the conversation on Instagram. DM us, tell us what you want to hear, comments about the episode, or what we didn't talk about. We love answering questions, and maybe your question might get featured on the podcast. So please don't be shy. You can follow us at Melanin Medicine Co. Your vision is big, and we're here to let you know it's possible. Keep going, and definitely keep listening. See you next week.